Let's pray to each prepare ourselves before we study God's word. If you would bow your heads in prayer. Well, I give you a moment of silence to pray. There are lots of things in today's sermon to think through carefully. And so pray for clear thinking. And I want to suggest that you tell God you want to respond well to what he shows you today. God, I thank you for your word in which you tell us the truth. You show us about true life. And God, I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts today by your Spirit. It's amazing that that's the way you have chosen to do it. Lord Jesus, you left the earth where we can't each physically be with you anymore, but you left your Spirit so you could be present with us all across the world. And so we listen to you, Lord Jesus, today through your written word and through your Spirit. May we respond well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've recently taken up mountain biking, and there are many difficulties to mountain biking. There are rocks that can cause you some painful wrecks that you have to try to avoid. Actually, there's lots of rocks on the trails that we've been going on to avoid. There have been, on the trails that we've been riding, there are cholla, like right on the edge of the trail. I'm talking inches from where you're flying by, and they're threatening to snag your clothing and your arms if you make one wrong move. You have to endure through the burn of your lungs and your muscles. And two out of the three times that I've been out mountain biking, my bike is broken down and I had to walk back to the parking lot. But I want to keep doing it, and I want to do it well. We're going to talk today about the fact that life can be very difficult. Has many challenges, it has many obstacles, and living life specifically as a Christian can make life even harder in some ways. Of course, it can make life better in many ways, but it can make life harder in some ways. We're going to discover three things to help us keep going instead of giving up in the face of those difficulties, and to help us deal with the difficulties so that we live our lives well as people of faith. So please open your Bible, if you haven't already, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be right in the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12. Now, as you're turning there, I want to let you know that at one point during today, it's not the whole sermon, but at one point, we're going to be talking about sin, about, like we did last week, about setting aside sin. And I want us to know when we get to that point clearly that this is talking about giving up sin for our good and for the good of the people around us so that we can live our lives well. Giving up sin is not a matter of salvation. We want to be clear on that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. He forgives all of our sins. But just because we're forgiven of our sins doesn't mean we want to just continue in them because we're forgiven. They cause us pain, they cause us problems, us and other people. So let's just be clear on that. Hebrews chapter 12, please look at just verse 1 to begin. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This great cloud of witnesses that it mentions here refers to the Old Testament believers who were talked about in the previous chapter of Hebrews. Their lives testified to the importance of living by faith, especially in the challenges that they faced. They were, this whole chapter before this is a list of all these different believers in the Lord who face different kinds of challenges. And they faced each of those challenges with faith, and so they responded to God rightly. We are encouraged to live by faith as they did, obeying God, walking through challenges, trusting God. We won't face the exact same things they did. We may face things that are kind of like what some of them did. But we each have our own course of life that's set before us by God. We have our own unique situations that we're called by God to obey in the midst of those situations. We will still have somewhat unique struggles, even though our walk of faith, we're obeying the same things, in a sense, that God has written for us. And we each are responsible to live well by faith, whatever life has in store for each one of us. The author likens our Christian lives to a race. The race is going to be an analogy that runs through the whole passage. And so take a moment to get a picture in your mind of a cross-country race. Picture it. Now, out in front of my pulpit here is going to be where I do my race illustrations. So this is my racetrack. I don't have much space out here, and it's not very long. But a cross-country race is long, and it is hard. The specific word translated as race here implies difficulties. It's a conflict. It's a battle. There are difficulties that will come in our courses of life. Life is hard. And living God's ways consistently can be hard. There are three things specified in this first verse that will help us deal with those difficulties. Even though each of our difficulties may be unique, these three things will help all of us to deal with the difficulties so that we can run our life races well as people of faith living for God. So number one, let us lay aside every encumbrance. The word encumbrance there pictures a weight that is on you that holds you back. You will run the course of your Christian life better if you take off whatever encumbrance is or encumbrances are on you. These encumbrances are things that we may not necessarily identify as sinful behaviors, because he's going to specify sinful behaviors next. So it makes me think these are other things that can hold us back from living our lives fully the way God wants us to. I've thought of several things that may fall into that category, things that are not necessarily sin, but they're things that hold us back from living the ways God wants us to. And I'm going to say each one and pause so that you can start to think, does this maybe apply to me? Remember, I told you you're going to have to think today. There's many of these moments. I want you to think, does this maybe apply to me? You won't be able to completely think each one of these out now, but you can at least start to, and you can make note of a couple of the things that you might want to think more about later. And by the way, I hope you won't get mad at me for suggesting these things. I'm just trying to help. If there's something that strikes you as true, it's up to you to decide if that's an encumbrance to you living the best way that you can for the Lord. And it's up to you to decide what you want to do about it. So are you ready to think? Here we go. Do you have some hurt from your past which you are holding on to that is weighing you down? Think about it. Do you have some hurt from your past which you're holding on to and is weighing you down? Do you take on many things, many tasks in your life, which in and of themselves may be good things, but they keep you so busy that it may keep you away from other things that God really wants you doing. Now, these are just a couple of things, but if you can never have time for quiet time or you don't have time to serve in the church, there might be other things like that. What's taking you away? Are you making yourself too busy with other what might seem like good things? Think about it. Do you have a hobby that may be excessive? Again, hobbies can be really good, but I know for sure they can be excessive. I've had many excessive hobbies over the course of my life. Think about it. Do you have some vision about what you think your life is supposed to be, but your life is not that? And so you're walking through life bummed and even depressed, maybe even blaming God because your life is not what you want it to be, you expect it to be. Think about it. Do you maybe have what is referred to as victim mentality? Now, just from that label, you might reject it right away, but listen, that's where you regularly think life is not fair. Or people are always holding you back. Other people are the ones always holding you back. If everything would just stop oppressing me, then I could progress. Think about it. This may not be your present situation, but maybe future. You singles and students, be careful of dating someone who is not really living for Christ. They will likely hinder you living for Christ. It may be that you have some behavior pattern that you've learned from your family of origin that is not good. Many of the things I've already mentioned come from our family of origin. Do you have something that you can specifically identify that one or maybe the cult, one of your family members or maybe the culture of your family put into you that's holding you back? Think about it. Things such as these can hold us back from the progress that ought to occur in our lives of faith. Got an illustration for you. Imagine these, each of these bricks are the things that we just talked about when I was asking you those questions. So maybe you just have one, or maybe you have multiple, but these are the things that aren't necessarily sin. Whew. Okay. Kind of like I can't see what's on my back, we may not recognize the things that are holding us back. And so how can we recognize these things that we may not see ourselves? Well, I have three suggestions. And I would recommend you do all three. Here's one. Assess the issues that members of your family of origin have. Because like I said, the family of origin can bring in all those other things that I talked about or any number of other things. And you may have similar things to your family of origin that held them back or holding you back. Number two, ask those close to you, your spouse, your friends, a mentor. What are the things that they see in your life as issues? Remember, we're not talking about sins. Other things that might be holding you back. Listen, this is key. Assure them that you're not going to get mad at them, you're not going to flip out on them, or you're not going to hold a grudge at them for being honest with you. Because if they think that's going to happen, they are less likely to be honest with you. Number three, pray. Ask God what your things are, and His Spirit can speak directly to you. He can also affirm those things that the other people have shared with you and that you've maybe tentatively thought of as you were thinking about your family of origin, the Spirit can confirm, yes, this is an issue. And whatever you discover, start laying it aside because it's holding you back. It can be hard to cast off something that's been part of you for so long. But it's for your best. It's for your progress in your life of faith. Let's go to the next thing specified here that will help us run our lives well as people of faith, living for God. Number two, let us lay aside the sin which so easily entangles us. Sin is exactly the opposite of doing what God wants. And so any sin keeps us from running our Christian life as well as we can. We learned last week about identifying sin and laying it aside, and it's best if you can put on something new in its place. I think it just helps, you know, rather than just trying to stop something, you put on something new in its place that's good, that's what the Lord wants. And this week's passage can further encourage us in laying aside sin. It says, which so easily entangles us. Sin comes so easily to us. Like, you know, we're going through life and we don't see that the sin is there oftentimes and we just stumble over it. And once we get into it, it can really tie us up and hold us back. Imagine this rope is the sin that is entangling you. Maybe it's something that you thought of last week as we were talking about sin, or maybe it's something that's on your mind right now, or God will show you as this goes on. Imagine this rope as your sin. It doesn't work so well for running a race. It's not good. Sin holds us back in so many ways. Our sin hurts other people, and so therefore it hurts our relationships. We need good relationships to be able to live this life well. And so struggling relationships can keep us from being all that God wants us to be and doing all that God wants us to do. Just for one example, I think of my wife. She is such a help to me in my personal life and in my ministry life, and as parenting our kids, us being partners and all those things makes things so much easier and so much better. And if her and I were always in conflict, all those other things would be more difficult. And sin can be the thing that causes that relationship to be difficult. When we sin, it often makes us feel guilty. And those bad feelings can keep us from striding forward. Often we think like, well, you know, I messed up and so God doesn't want anything to do with me, and we just ignore the things that he wants us to do. If we've been working on not doing a sin and then we do that same sin again, it can make us feel like a failure and we just want to give up trying. I'm never going to succeed. What is the sin that you keep doing? Think about it for a moment. What is the sin that you keep doing? Whatever it is, it's time to lay it aside. Get rid of it so that it's not entangling you anymore. So you can run the course that God wants you to without being tangled up, without being held back. Life is hard enough because of the things that impose difficulties on us from outside of ourselves. We don't need extra problems that are caused by our own sin. You may have tried before to lay aside some sin, maybe the one that you just thought of, and you were unsuccessful Like I said, you kept coming back to it and doing it again. Give yourself to trying again. And even if you fail again, give yourself to trying again. And depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, that's translated the sin which so easily entangles us, there's an idea that may help you to be more successful in laying aside that sin. The word entangles is literally something surrounding. Now, that may just be, you know, like the rope. I wrapped it around my ankles, and so it's around. But that idea of something surrounding gave me what I think is a helpful idea. Are there people that you're hanging around with who are sinning, and it tempts you to do what they are doing? It may be a friendship. It may be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You may need to change that relationship, or you may even need to lay it aside. Are there places that you go that are particularly tempting you to do that sin? Or are things that you expose yourself to that lead you to that sin? Can you avoid those places? Can you avoid that exposure? If so, it's probably a good idea to do it. If you can't, like say for example it was at work and you can't leave work, then plan that every time you're in that place that you're going to prepare yourself to walk by the Holy Spirit. Ask Him for His power so that you don't fall to that temptation that you have. There's one more thing specified in verse 1 that will help us run this life race well. As people of faith, living for God. Number 3, let us run with endurance. Endurance, of course, fits the race analogy perfectly. But this word often used in the New Testament to refer to bearing up under difficulties that life brings. So this endurance that's being talked about is when you have difficulties facing you, you keep going. If you've ever done anything long, it often gets harder as you go on. I've never done a marathon, but I've heard that marathons are really easy to start because you're all excited and pumped up, but it's hard to keep going mile after mile. Even just something like a long, hard day of yard work just gets harder and harder to do, especially in the heat of Arizona. A difficulty facing us. It's hard to finish instead of just giving up. Well, as life goes on, it's going to keep being hard and it might get harder. It can get difficult to go on trusting God when things are difficult. It can be difficult to trust God and do life His ways. Not giving up doing life His ways and trusting Him. Here are just a few examples of ways living the Christian life requires endurance, not giving up. Just generally, continuing to grow in Christian behavior requires endurance. There are always more ways to grow, things that God wants us to change about our character, about our behaviors, about our thinking. And continuing to do that over a long life, not stalling, not quitting, requires endurance. When you have a certain sin that keeps rearing its ugly head, it can be hard to keep fighting that instead of just giving up. It can be hard to continue serving in the church. You may feel like you've served for a long period of time and it's time for a break. Or ministry gets hard, which it often does at some point, and quitting is just easier. Continuing to give, especially when finances get tight, can be difficult. Continuing to be committed to your marriage can be difficult. And trying to keep a really good marriage, doing the work to have the good kind of relationship that God wants, is definitely difficult. Continuing to share Jesus with people when you faced much rejection or hostility is difficult. But we are encouraged to run the race of life as a Christian with endurance. Keep going. In the context of faithful living, this means don't get tired of, don't give up doing what God wants you to do. Whether that's serving or giving or working on your marriage or any of those other things, don't give up. Keep doing what God wants you to do. If you've already given up, especially in one of the areas that I've mentioned, or another area that you know God does not want you to give up, will you decide right now to get back at it? All of us can use some help keeping at it. And the next two verses give some specifics of how we can endure and not give up. So far we've been encouraged to do these various things so that we do endure. And now this is going to tell us how to endure. Please look at verse 2. I'm going to read from the end of verse 1, just so we have the context, through verse 2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the originator and the finisher of the faith, who, because of the joy set before him, endured the cross, not caring about the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is talking about how we can have endurance, how to keep going in the Christian life and do it well. As I said, I started mountain biking, and I've been doing it with someone who's really good at it. So when I'm riding, I'm looking forward at him. I got to watch the trail because there's rocks and cholla and those kinds of things, but I'm trying to look forward at him, and I do that for a couple of reasons. One, it helps me to learn how to do it right by watching him do it right. And number two, it encourages me, it pushes me to keep going. In the Christian life, the main person out in front of us that we are supposed to be looking at is Jesus. We are to keep fixing our eyes on Jesus. Keep looking forward at him. Jesus Christ is the author or originator of the faith. The Christian life of faith is what we are all trying to live. And so he is the one who Christians follow, Jesus. He is the one who can show us how to live this life of faith. Jesus is also the finisher of the faith. He is the one who has already finished living perfectly the ways that God wanted him to. Jesus has already run the race that we are trying to run, and he did it perfectly. And so Jesus is our main example in how to live our Christian lives. Therefore, if you ever aren't sure what to do in a certain situation, maybe you're not sure exactly what the scriptures say, or maybe you know the scriptures really well, but there's some subjectivity into how to apply those, ask yourself, how did Jesus act in a similar situation? We have here how Jesus acted in one situation, that is, when he went to the cross. Most everyone can understand being crucified must have been incredibly hard to endure. Rather than focusing on the difficulty and the shame of the cross, he focused on the joy of the end goal, which for him was sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. This can help us as well, looking at this example of Jesus. This can help us in dealing with suffering. But I think it also helps us just generally with obeying God. You see, Jesus going to the cross was the will of God for Jesus. Jesus knew ahead of time that he was going to go to the cross. And from what he prayed right before he was going to go to the cross, it seems like Jesus didn't want to do it. And yet Jesus said to the Father, not what I want, but what you want. And so Jesus is an example to us generally of obeying God. Even when it's going to be very difficult to do so, even when the thing that he's asking us to do, we may not want to do it. If we look at that example of Jesus, we would say, well, not what I want, but what you want, God. How did Jesus complete the course well when it was so difficult? The course that the Father had put before him. He focused on the joy of the end goal and sitting down at the right hand of God the Father. Now for him, it doesn't say it in the passage what all the end goal was. There's a ton of things that we could talk about there that might mean theologically. He was trying to achieve something. He knew that God had an end goal. One of those things is forgiving sins of people. And he also thought about sitting down at the right hand of God the Father. The thing that's supposed to give us joy, according to other passages in the Bible, is thinking about heaven. Also, Hebrews talks quite a bit about the rewards for obedience, which we'll receive when we're resurrected. Rewards that we're going to get from doing the things that God wanted us to do. It's one of the reasons to do what God wants us to do. When we need to obey God and it's difficult, we can do what Jesus did. Focus on the joy of the end goal, which for us is rewards at the end time resurrection and heaven. Those things are at our finish line. We should think about those and press on. The next verse continues giving specifics of how we can endure and not give up by following Jesus' example. Look at verse 3 as I read. For you should think about him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and faint in your soul. Life itself can be difficult and hard to endure, but it is especially difficult when people are being hostile toward you. And that can happen when you are really living for Christ. So imagine you're running a long race, that race course, that cross-country race course that you got in your mind at the beginning. You've run that whole thing and you're coming to the end. And at the end, there's all kinds of people gathered around. But instead of cheering for you to finish, you have people yelling hateful, discouraging words at you. The rigors of the race have been hard enough, but now all these people around are against you. That may be our life as a Christian sometimes, if we are really living for Christ. That is why these verses encourage us to not grow weary and faint in your soul. Basically, what that means in our lingo today is don't get sick and tired of living the Christian life. And give up, because it's hard. How do we do that? Think about Jesus. Remember, we're supposed to focus our eyes. He's the one out in front of us. He's run the race before us. He's out in front of us, and we're supposed to be looking at him all the time. Think about Jesus and his behavior when people came against him. First of all, just remember how much hostility he faced. Because when we face hostility, we might think, why me? But it's part and parcel of following Jesus. Jesus himself said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. He was running to that finish line before us, and all that crowd of people were around booing him and hating him and crucified him. And so first, just know that you aren't facing anything more than what your leader did. And then remember, Jesus endured it. He didn't get sick and tired of living the life of obedience to God and give up, even though he faced much hostility. Let's follow our leader, Jesus Christ. Running the course of the Christian life is not easy. But in this passage, we have been given several things that can help us. Lay aside every encumbrance that is holding us back from the progress that ought to occur in our life of faith. Let us lay aside the sin which so easily entangles us, because sin is the opposite of obeying God. It's like going backwards in the race. And despite the difficulties and people that may be hostile against us, don't get sick and tired of living this life of faith, this Christian life, and give up. Rather, let us also run the course that God has set before each one of us with endurance, like our leader Jesus did. Keep looking at Jesus, his faith, his obedience, his endurance in the face of difficulty, and keep running your course of Christian life well. Let's pray to apply what we learned today. Will you take a few moments? I trust that God's Word has already been speaking to you, and the Spirit uses His Word to cut us like a surgeon and expose our shortcomings and our sins and our lack of endurance. But will you take a few concerted moments here to continue to listen? What might be weighing you down that's keeping you from running the Christian life well? Something that's not sin, but something else that might be holding you back. Let Him speak to you. And what sin, if you haven't already heard something during the course of the message, what sin might be entangling you and keeping you from living the way God wants you to? Listen. Have you given up in some way? Have you stopped looking to God's Word to keep teaching you how to live? Have you stopped giving yourself consistently to living those ways? Have you, maybe a sin that keeps coming back in your life and you were trying and trying and you've given up trying to defeat it? What is that that you've given up on? Now, would you tell God that you want to lay aside whatever is holding you back? You want to lay aside that sin. Ask Him for His help. And tell Him that you want to run with endurance. Maybe you need to get back in the race of living the Christian life well. Would you tell Him and ask Him for His help? God, again, I thank You for Your Word of truth that speaks to us, and I thank You for Your Spirit who speaks to us and applies Your Word to us very specifically. God, I pray that we would give ourselves to whatever it is that You've shown each one of us, that it would be glorifying to You, and that I trust in time it's going to be good for us and good for the people around us. We'll see that good. It'll make us trust You even more. We need Your help, God, to do the things that You want us to do, to face the difficulties, to endure the people that may be against us as we try to walk with You. Help us. We trust You. We love You. We want to live this life in Christ well for You, that You may be glorified, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in Your name. And all those who agreed said, Amen.